So beautiful, thank you. During Lent, I haven't been doing any jokes, but I've taken some flack about that. So I thought during this time of Lent and during this time what's going on in the world right now, we probably need a little bit of levity. So I heard this, a friend sent it through a post. Eventually in this time, everyone will be quarantined to their houses with no sports to watch. And in 9 months from now, a boom of babies will be born, and we will call them the coronials. That was pretty good. During Lent, we are exploring the seven deadly sins plus two, as outlined by the Enneagram, a 9-point psycho-spiritual path of self-discovery and self-awareness. So on the 9-point, 2 weeks ago, we began at point 4 of envy and point 5 of avarice. Last week, we looked at point 2 of pride and point 3 of deceit. And today, we look at point 9 of sloth. We're just looking at one of the vices, and we're moving to the virtues. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at moving from envy to equanimity at point 4, from avarice and greed at point 5 to non-attachment, from deceit to truthfulness at point 3, from pride to humility at point 2, and today we're exploring the movement from sloth at point 9 to right action. Sloth is identified as one of these seven deadly sins, which Paul Cadmus chose to paint in 1946, his interpretation of sloth. He was an American painter, and as he pointed out, all of these seven passions are in each one of us. So his image of sloth illustrates a person who is asleep and is covered in cobwebs because he has refused to act. It reminded me of Great Expectations and Charles Dickens and Miss Havisham when she hopes for her wedding celebration and has a wedding cake there and the groom never arrives and the wedding cake is covered for a century, well, no, for half a century, for 50 years in cobwebs. That's what it reminds me of. It is also the story of the three servants who took the talents that their master had given them while the master went away, and the one investing their gifts to make more, and then the next one doing the same thing, but the one servant bearing the talent and not doing anything with it, not acting at all. Similarly, today, Don read the story of the one tree producing good fruit while the other tree produces rotten fruit. Likewise, in our other story, the one builder putting great effort into the foundation of the house so it could withstand the assaults of the floods and winds that life brings. All of these sacred stories are written to illustrate the importance of not being slothful or lazy, or idle, or indolent, of not being intentional or reflective in our doing. Now, most of us have been raised on a strong Protestant work ethic. And I would say that none of us gathered here are terribly lazy or slothful. In fact, at Knox, I've never seen a group of more hardworking individuals in my life. You don't tend to stop. None of us do. Most of us here are driven by doing too much and are more adept at being human doings rather than human beings. But the compulsion or passion of sloth is not primarily about inactivity or laziness. As much as it is, as Sandra Maitrey says in her book, The Enneagram of Passions and Virtues, as much it is as about being asleep, about being unaware, about being not present to the present moment. A better scriptural story to illustrate the compulsion of sloth today might have been the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, in which Jesus is very much aware of the betrayals and the violence, the hatred that is brewing. And so in the garden, he is praying to God for deliverance from all of that, while those closest to him are asleep to the dangers all around them. And he keeps trying to wake them up to no avail. The story of the sleeping disciples is a story of those who refuse to wake up to the reality, to refuse to see, who continue to deny and to act. In many ways, I would say for the past 40 years, as a society, as a global community, I think we have been pretty much asleep to the dire consequences of our consumerism and the impact on our planet. We, in effect, have had our heads in the sand with respect to plastics, with respect to the impact of all of our waste and not having anywhere to put it, the impact of the clothing industry on our environment as we bury ourselves in excess clothing. We have been asleep to the impact on our environment of energy production, of mining and burning coal, of producing barrel after barrel of oil and gas. The impact that our cruises and our jet travel have on the environment as we travel the world. The impact of meat production and methane gases in our depletion of the layers of ozone. The impact that destroying forests has had on the balance of our ecosystems. The impact for years of smoking on our health. The damaging effects still of drugs and alcohol on our mental health. And how the next generations being born with FAS and neurological difficulties, not able to even cope, to hold a job. The exploitation of cheap human labor in developing countries by so-called developed countries. We have been asleep to the effects of social media and the impact of violence, of our movies and of our video games on children, who then graduate from high school last summer and decide to reenact a video game in real life and go across our country, killing innocent people in remote parts of our country and end up dying in the woods. People buying up Lysol or hoarding toilet paper to resell these items on the internet to make money by exploiting people's basic needs. I went to Save On Foods yesterday. Not a roll. David Suzuki, Greta Thunberg have been trying to awaken us from our sleep. Living in denial, keeping our heads in the sand, refusing to see how our selfish choices and actions impact others, forgetting our true nature and purpose. Preferring to remain asleep is the sin of sloth. So what can we do about it? Our children's video, I love the words, reminds us to wake up and to wise up and to take right action and do it now, now, now. What is something that has been going on in your life upon which you need to take action? Because right action is what is the right response required in this moment. So what is a right action that you perhaps have been putting off to move from sloth, from denial, from being asleep, to paying attention to? Perhaps you've been putting off an important conversation that you need to have. Perhaps you have been putting off attention to your health. Perhaps you have been putting off a need to meditate, to rest, to Sabbath. Perhaps you've been putting off an act of forgiveness to oneself or to another. Perhaps you have been putting off attention to a relationship that needs attention. Perhaps you need to become present to a longing or to a cause or to a concern. What is a right action requiring of you in this moment? Right now, we have a world in the grip of fear over a virus that has unleashed a pandemic of panic in the world. It is asking us in this moment to wake up, wise up, and do what we can to stem the spread of this highly infectious virus, to protect ourselves and each other. But while we are waking up and wising up, we must not forget our humanity, our compassion, and our connection with one another. If we have traveled in the last few weeks, we need to be self-isolating in case we have been exposed to the virus unknowingly. We need to share toilet paper and basic necessities of life and not stock up unnecessarily. The movement toward wholeness is to move from sloth to right action, to do what is good and true and right, to act with compassion for one another, and do the highest good not just for ourselves, but for each other. As people of faith, you and I are reminded that we are all children of the living God, that we belong to God and to each other. I want to share with you today an email, well, a WhatsApp, really, message that I received from the mother of our Italian student, Giovanna. Her name is Stefania, and she is living through the worst of it in Italy, as she lives in Turin, which is one of the cities that has been hardest hit, along with Milan. And she knows that her daughter is living with us here, hundreds of miles away, and that Giovanna has asthma. So she has a precondition, a respiratory illness. So we received this yesterday from her. And of course we know that Italy is the country after China that has endured and suffered the greatest confusion and loss of life. And so she wrote us to encourage us not to be asleep to the potency of this virus. In her best English, she warns us that our country still has an opportunity to act in a way that her country didn't. And she wrote these words to Rain and I, these two messages, one after the another. Dear Jen and Rain, this is Stefania, Giovanna's mom. As you know, I rarely jump into Gio's life on the other side of the Atlantic because I think you are all faring well together and do not need my intrusion. However, today I really feel the need to talk to you and warn you about the importance of taking extremely seriously the contagiousness of COVID-19 and the risk for everyone's health and even life associated to it. As you know, in Italy, we are currently in the sweep of the pandemic. More than 1,000 people have died, both old and young people. Many doctors are infected. Many hospitals are struggling with the load of patients who need ICU. And in the next few weeks, Hospitals in May may not be able to accept ICU patients any longer. Due to the next extreme contagiousness of the virus and to the risk that asymptomatic people have, they may spread it around, and so we have all been quarantined, just like they did in China, for as long as it is necessary. I don't mean to sound catastrophic, but I know it's hard to believe how things are or can be before the fact. So please, I strongly recommend you to anticipate those behaviors that will likely be enforced as the virus will spread more rapidly in Canada and USA. Stay far from people who are fragile or have a health condition or are simply older. Don't underestimate what may happen. Monitor your health. In case of cold or temperature, call the doctor right away, but do not go directly to the hospital. You may infect an entire community. Use sanitizer and wear a mask wherever possible. It will pass by right now. Everything has changed or is changing. Please stay well and take good care of yourselves. Dear Jen and Rain, since you told me to keep in touch, I'd like to tell you how things are going on and especially how to prevent the virus. So how did it spread? Everything started with this Italian guy that lives in a little town close to Milan, who had physical contact with a foreign infected guy. And because of him, he infected the whole community within a few days. As you know, the most important thing to do is to prevent the virus, not getting it and then defeating it. The most important thing is that starting now, you really shouldn't be around crowded places. Since there aren't so many cases yet in Canada, you have the chance to avoid the contagion by following some rules. I understand that you may be doubt about it. This is what happened with all the European countries around Italy, like Germany, France, and Spain, that only now that they have been infected, they understand the severity of the situation. So what I really suggest you to do is to put into practice the basic rules. Interrupt every activity that comprises a lot of people, like the mall, the gym, and places where people gather. So what I think is that you still have the opportunity to avoid it, but only if you start to put into practice these basic rules. I felt compelled to share her message with all of you today. I felt it was the right action. I think it's amazing to me how this series was planned months ago. But God is always way ahead of us. So on this day of moving from inaction and being asleep, we're encouraged to move to right action and doing the right thing in the present moment and being aware. Not panicking, but just waking up and being wise, as our song said. So perhaps it is important that we move from sloth and being asleep to the reality of our global situation and to take right action. So I'm going to look at this virus as Mother Earth throwing up a virus telling us she needs a break from we humans. She needs us to allow her to rest and for ourselves to take a much-needed rest from the frantic pace of our lives, to renew ourselves, to self-isolate, to strengthen ourselves through rest and sleep and good nutrition. And in doing so, it is important for us to continue to care for one another, not to hog the toilet paper or the wipes or the food, and to share with one another, not our germs, but our concern and compassion for one another as a global community, as a country, as a province, as a church, and as Oceanside community. Through phone calls and emails and texts and podcasts, we can still keep connected and safe. So as individuals and as a community, let us take right action. Let us be present to the moment we are in this time, in this place, and respond wisely and well. May it be so. Amen.